Hey everybody, this is Nick Singh, and you are now listening to Autographs. You know, when you stop looking for acceptance and you just enjoy your life, the whole game changes.
You have to understand yourself, like, and I think the real answer is real giving. Is that I don't understand why people don't get that if you give purely, you get.
We get good at what we do the most of. You nurture the process of, like, going to yourself and listening to yourself, and you get very good at honing your own intuition.
Did I actually make people stop and go, whoa, humans are capable of more than I thought? You're great at a certain skill, and you can then put that skill to use to help somebody else, that's fulfillment.
My hope is that this show inspires you to just feel like you can just be yourself, have fun, and enjoy your life too. So enjoy and take care out there.
Yo, imagine if that's how I started podcasts.
You start all your podcasts. You just like the guest joins, you just start laughing.
Like a legit like kiddo joining my call. Dude. Yo, where are you right now?
I am in Toronto.
Oh, that's your spot? Is that you and Liver King spot? And,
yes, sir.
Does she know that I call her Liver King?
She does.
For anybody sure listening, Liv is short form for Olivia, and Liv is precious girl, and she's effectively known in my books, and we've only never met, and she's effectively known as Liver King. Yo, what's with that guy, bro? Like, he eats balls, literally.
Do you see how he looks now? Like, after,
no.
He looks kind of beat up. Like his,
really?
His skin, like, yeah, he aged like 10 years in the last like 2 months.
After, shit, dude, he does look a little beat up.
Yeah, it's like really kind of concerning, but he's like so into the bit.
Yeah, let me share my screen so everybody can see what the fuck is going on. So this is Liver King. If you guys don't know who Liver King is, he's this guy who literally only eats raw food. And like raw liver and like legit like cow testicles and shit, and he's a nut. But yo, dude, he really does. He's jacked. I mean, like, yeah. Do you think he's on roids or something? Or
yeah. So there's like a couple of months ago, he got called out.
Can you see my screen, by the way? Can you screen? Yeah. Can you see my screen? Okay, sick.
Yeah. He got called out on an email thread that basically he was talking to his like health person about all the like roids that he was basically taking. So. That got leaked, and then he made a whole like apology, like half apology video on his YouTube channel.
Are you serious?
Yeah, you gotta check it out.
Dude, that's a massive scandal.
It's so bad, yeah.
Yo, are you calling on an Opal?
I am, yeah.
No fucking way, dude, because I can see, I'm not a fucking idiot, but, No, I'm totally kidding, but it says on here that you're using an Opal C1.
It actually shows that?
Yeah.
Like, it's part of Squadcast? It's like
have you used Squadcast before?
No, I haven't. So I saw Descript owns it now?
Descript bought it, and they initially didn't have it. So for Peter's podcast, we use Riverside. And
oh, yeah.
I actually like Squadcast better. It's super clean. It just feels like a super user-friendly product, which is
yeah, sick. This looks simple. I like it.
How you been, though, man? I miss you, buddy. You been good?
I know, man. We got to meet up. You got to come
first
over.
First question, does J. Cal know you're doing this?
No, he doesn't.
Why not?
I don't tell him, like, every single thing that I'm doing.
We should let him know.
Yeah. I'm sure he'll watch, like, 2 minutes of this. And
okay, well, who is J. Cal, for those who don't know who he is? Because no one cares about Presh. So, I'm totally kidding. For context, Presh is the... I don't even know what to call your role these days. Is it chief of staff still?
I don't know either. And I just updated my LinkedIn. It just says employee.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's so such just... a, like, that's such a trick.
So, yeah.
Just like, it's legit a thing in, like, 2023 that it's kind of weird that, like, jobs don't have real titles anymore. Like, I don't know what to call myself either. It's, like, producer, guy...
But you also do other things than producing as well. So it's like, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But in all seriousness, you've been good though, man. I miss you, buddy. You've been,
yeah, man.
How was y'all in Summit?
Oh, it was good. It was this year was crazy because it was like three times bigger than last year.
Let me time you out for literally 30 seconds because I want to give anybody context. I'm gonna start this in like a false place, but I'm not gonna start this here, but I'll start it before this when we're, you know, joking around. But for anybody who doesn't know, I'll give 30 seconds on how we met. I DM Presh because he had photos of Shawn Mendes on his Instagram. And no, he didn't actually have photos of Shawn Mendes, but Shawn Mendes follows Presh on IG, and that's why. That's not why I DM'd him. I ended up DMing him because I thought what he did was really interesting. If you don't know, Jason Calacanis is a famous angel and VC in the Valley, in Silicon Valley. You know, his track record precedes him. He's also the host of All In. He's a media personality in startup world. You know, he's known as the dude. And Presh was his chief of staff, and now apparently has been promoted or demoted to employee. So I don't know where that all falls, but you know, Presh has been just an incredible friend and a fantastic person to know that I'm grateful to call a friend. And I asked him to hop on the show just to shoot the shit. And so that's Presh. And now I'm asking him about the All In Summit, which is the All In podcast from Jason Calacanis. It's their annual in-person event. And so how I understand it is that, was it Friedman? He put it on this year, his team?
Yeah, Friedberg. Yeah. So each year the besties is what the group of four call themselves. They decided each year they'll rotate. So one bestie will put on the conference. So we did it the first year, 2022 in Miami, which was great. We had like 800 people come out to that. And then this year Friedberg's team was doing it, the production board, and they did a fantastic job. But it was three times bigger. So, a lot more to consider. But I think it was all around a great event.
Yeah, you guys rented out like a portion of the pier. It was really cool.
Yeah. For one of the parties, it was our Barbie theme. So we split it up. Like for year one, JCast team did everything. Our team did everything. Year two, Friedberg's team did all the content. So during the day, organizing, and then our team, which is really just one person, Amber, on our team, who did the parties. And so we try to hit it out of the park with that party. So night one was James Bond. Night two was Barbie theme and Surfer Dude. Night three was cyberpunk, like Blade Runner theme, which was pretty sick too. And we had Grimes come out to DJ for like an hour.
Did you really? That's fucking sick. Yeah. How do you guys pull such an eclectic group? Because, you know, obviously it makes sense to me that, you know, All In is like this notable thing right now. And, you know, you guys pulled Mr. Beast, you guys pulled Grimes, and you guys continually pull, like, really interesting people, and you have Elon on all the time, which is, you know, a hard person to get on, just in general. And so is it just, like, the fact that the show is just this cultural, because it is, like, this cultural thing right now. How does that feel being, like, on the inside of that? Are you guys insulated from that? Do you guys notice it? Are the teams now, like, is, you know, Friedberg's team, Chamath's team, Sack's team, your team, are you guys now almost relying as the show as, like, a top of funnel driver for awareness for all the stuff you're doing and really looking to it as an entity? Or is it still this like kind of running joke that this whole thing works? And it's just fun for everybody.
Yeah. So the first part of that, like how we get these people, a lot of them are just aware of the show or our personal relationships from one of the besties. Like, all four of the hosts have initially like their own brand before coming together as All In, and they're obviously super successful on their own and have a huge network, and so all of them combined just like magnifies their reach, right? And so mostly it's just relationships that they have, like the Elon coming on frequently is a relationship from Jason. They've been good friends for a number of years. And then the Mr. Beast was like plays poker with Chamath, and so
really?
and with the guys, yeah. So really? That's how
that's
they got
wild.
That. So like a lot of it, it's kind of funny. It comes from just their personal relationships or like who they've met playing poker. So that's the guest piece. And they've made new relationships. Like now they're trying to get more people running for president in the U.S. On the show.
Yeah, and like. Did you guys have Vivek on or no?
Yeah, we had Vivek on. He was good.
You guys had Robert Kennedy.
Robert Kennedy, yeah. I was going to say Robert Downey Jr.
That like, let's face it, Downey Jr. would have been cooler than Kennedy. Like, it's just it's just a fact of the matter. Dude, that's sick, man.
I mean, it's really not like a huge like enterprise. It's still just the four of them. Like each week they use it as a time to like catch up, like we're doing here. This is like the first time talking to you in a couple months.
Yeah, no, which is lame.
Filming a podcast.
Yeah, no, we just happened to be filming a show. I mean, yeah. I did want to tell the story, though. Like, the only formal thing that I'll do here is I'll have you tell the story of how you landed the role of J-Cow, because I actually find it interesting, and it's a total story of grit and resilience and, like, just the way that jobs are given to people these days. I think that, you know, there's a few distinct paths to getting a career made for yourself, and, you know, there's obviously the traditional path, like, build up your resume, go to school, et cetera, if, you know, school matters to it, apply on LinkedIn, you know, meet the hiring manager, go through stages, get yourself hired. That's totally still real. And then there's also this really untraditional path that is, like, colored with just life events that are really strange and hard to put together, and it's happened to me several times, it's happened to you several times, and so I'd love if you, you know, share that story from Soups to Nuts, because I always get a kick out of it. And I remember when we had our first call, it's like, well, that's how that all went down. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. Also, I remember our first phone call, like, it was like an hour long, and we were just like talking about what we're doing. And
yeah. It was just fun. I don't even know what I was up to then. I mean, I was definitely doing the show, and then
you're producing. God. Yeah, you were producing. You were making content. You had your agency, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that was a, that was a good time. That was a
which is what's ago. Up. But anyways, take us back to, you know, the J-Cow thing.
Yeah, so it started when I went to university and really had no idea what I wanted to do, but I knew I liked technology and I liked investing. I liked investors more so. I just thought they were really smart. And then I just liked startups as well. And that started from a young age, just liking Apple products and stuff. So knew that, but job role, I went into university thinking I was going to be like an investment banker or something, do 4 years of school and then work at a bank and try to do investment banking or something, boring like that. But then after first year, I was like horrible at my courses and I didn't care. I just basically punted it. Didn't pay attention. I like failed most of my classes just because I wasn't even like going.
Did you actually like really fail or like?
Yeah, dude, I missed like my legit final exam for one of the
wait, courses. yo, missing a final is either a conscious decision or a massive buckle. Like, which one was it? Was it you being lackadaisical and just like legit chilling? dude, I could not imagine the feeling of like kicking your feet up, legit chilling, and then halfway through being like, I have a final right now. And then just knowing that, was that what happened to you?
I punted it so hard. I woke up. I remember it so vividly. I woke up, looked at my calendar, and I was halfway through the time of when I would be doing
the exam. Hold on. Wait, was this like a planned thing? You said, I'm not going to go? Or was
no,
accidental?
It was accidental.
what fucking time was the exam?
It was like maybe a 10 a.m. exam, and it was like for 3 hours.
Were you prepared for it? Or like?
I wasn't really prepared for it. I was still planning to do all my exams. This one, I just woke up late. And I was halfway through it, or like a half hour through it. And
what
it would
did
take
you
me
do?
Half hour to get. And so I was just like, all right, I'm just not gonna go. I probably failed all my other ones anyway. So
How did you spend the rest of the day? Like, did you let it go or like?
Because I punted it so badly and like knew that I probably wasn't gonna return for my second year. I was like, this doesn't even matter really.
I actually haven't heard this part of your story as a heads up. Yeah, I didn't realize that you punted university that hard. And so were you rebelling? Like, were you a rebel without a cause, or did you just feel like in your heart that there was more to life for you? And also, were you like this in high school? Because if you're going into, you know, university with the understanding that you're going to be getting to IB investment banking, you probably like have some kind of relationship with academia that's healthy, because you probably did well at math and, you know, some other subjects that, or maybe you just did shit at all of them and you said, I'm going to make this work.
it was pretty, you just failed
like all of the preliminary stuff that would like signal that you could do investment banking. And you just said, fuck it. I'm getting into this, man. I'm going to elbow my fucking way into this industry. So wait, were you into academia in high school or?
So I was in like grade 9 and grade 10. I had good like averages, like high 80s. And then grade 11 and 12 came, and the work got like workload increased a little bit, but also I just stopped caring as much about school because I just wasn't like thinking about it. Everyone else was like preparing for like what college and university they wanted to go to, but that just wasn't like on my radar. And still just like delusionally thought I was just going to be in investment banking after university. I was like, I'll just get there, do 4 years.
You'll just fucking elbow and forcefully put yourself into a bank and just be like, still don't really know the math, but we're gonna figure it out. Okay, so interesting. And then and then when you were in first year, like this whole thing, you know, what did it feel like internally? Does it just start to mature, the fact that you weren't really in a school?
Yeah, so after, basically once I got into first year, then it was like very clear to me that I couldn't do another 3 years of this because I was so horrible at year one. It's like, how the hell can I continue doing this? Like, I just wouldn't get anywhere. I'd be doing first year courses in year four. It just like wouldn't make sense.
You're just the old guy on campus. You're like, yo, how's your first year been? Like, it's my fourth year, buddy. Fuck off. Exactly. You just got some freshmen. You're just like, all you guys.
Like, who is this 40-year-old guy here? Like, what's he doing?
Just like, oh, that guy's been trying to get into IB his whole life.
Exactly, yeah. So, yeah, I mean, that whole piece of college was, like, a write-off, and I knew that, like, very early on after getting in. So because of that, I was like, okay, like, what's my plan B outside of university?
What's my purpose? just start asking the broad question, just what the fuck's my purpose?
Right? Yeah. So like halfway through university, or actually like as soon as I started first year university, I was just tinkering with different entrepreneurial things and like creating Shopify stores and just trying to like build random things and businesses, which like none of them really worked out, but I was just exploring things. And then about halfway into near the end of my first year, I was like, okay, I actually got this advice from watching a Gary Vee video, which was, I was a hardcore Gary Vee fan. You know, this
gotta
is 2016.
Love Gary.
Yeah. Gotta love Gary. 2016, which is actually, 2016, 2017, which is around when I saw you like appeared in one of his videos. Made that connection later on.
I was so nervous, bro. My heart was beating like 1,000 miles per minute.
And you got a nice clip. You were like walking in the streets of New York or something, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I remember that so well. Yeah,
that's cool. Was that before we met?
That was before we met. Yeah, I only made the connection after.
Sick.
But yeah, you were in like an early video when he was just starting the daily, like D-Rock and him were filming. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. D-Rock recently left, by the way. Which
I saw his post. Yeah.
Yeah, it was the end of an era for sure for Gary.
Yeah. But anyways, so what was I saying?
You were saying that, you know, you were getting into Gary Vee.
Getting to Gary Vee, so watched a lot of his videos, and obviously he kind of like fit my like ideal persona of like punting school and just like doing things. But he had one specific advice in one video, which was, if you don't know what you want to do and you're in college or even after college, doesn't really matter, but you have no idea what you want to do, but you know people that you look up to or are inspired by, just go and work for that person for couple years, or you know, 5 years or even 10 years or whatever, and use that as your like undergrad, for example. And so I took that and I was like, this might be the only thing that works for me, because school doesn't. So then as soon as I heard that advice, started emailing people, no one knows the story, but I started emailing airlines, because I pitched an idea. I made like a little deck. I pitched an idea that I would go on airlines and film content for them, but they would have to just pay for my travel. And I was pitching that to like the CEO of like JetBlue. And
did anybody reply?
Southwest. A couple people replied saying just like, I don't think we can do this. just shut down.
Who are you? And it's literally spelled who and then the letter R and then you question mark. Just the next reply, what the fuck? People just, how did you get this email?
Yeah, well, what that I thought it was so slick too, like
yo, guessing for what it's worth, I've done the exact same shit. I've like if you were to look at my emails, it is a shit show of like weird asks and like attempts to get, you know, in contact with people that I think are inspiring. So yeah. I know how you feel, but that's cool.
Yeah, so that was it. So I did that and then just transitioned the airline bit to like actual people. So would email primarily just CEOs of tech startups and investors that were like prominent in Silicon Valley. And so Jason was one of them. Sent probably around 50 or 100 emails to people.
What did you say? Like what one thing I want people to pick up if they're listening to this is that like it's easy for, you know, you and I could kind of breeze by this whole like, hey, I shot them an email type of thing. But
yeah,
I know at a certain point in my life, what was missing was, what the fuck do I say? And yeah. So I have a general template of what I say when I'm first reaching out to people. I'm wondering, do you?
Yeah. So I made it up and it was, so one is like, try to be very like short, right? With the ask and what you're saying, because people don't want to, you know, spend more than, you know, a couple minutes reading it. Mm-hmm. I've refined that over the years. When I first did it, it was kind of brutal. It was mainly like, hey, compliment of like something that I saw recent or relevant to that person, and then just straight into the ask, and then a little bit about myself or something that I've accomplished, which at the time was nothing, so I didn't have anything to put there. Just,
I almost made my first exam. just asterisk on the word almost.
Yeah. I'll refine that. What I did have was time, and willing to just work for free, because I lived at home and didn't have really any expenses, since I was super young. So
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I want to zoom in on that for a moment, because like people, when they're just starting, they could miss the fact that they're actually hyper valuable to people in this aspect that any organization that you meet, they're going to have just like a ton of like bottom of the rung ladder work that's available. Yeah. And they either need it done for free, and you could solve real problems for them and get your foot in the... I've had so many first opportunities by just doing free work. And so, like, you got to make the ask, and I just wanted to point that out. Because that's work for me, it's obviously work for you as well.
Yeah, the free thing is... And everyone looks down at it, on it. Like, if you go on Twitter for, like, 1 minute, it's like, never do free work. But just offering to do free work, most people actually won't, like, will want to pay you. But I just always blanket, just like, I'll do this free. I can commit whatever hours. And then they'll come back and, you know, most of the time want to pay you because it looks bad on their part also, if they're super successful and they're like getting for free labor. So I'm like big proponent of the free work, always. And it always leads to some opportunity, whether it's someone you meet, you know, mm-hmm. But yeah, so offered that. That was what I had to offer. And what I learned was, it's crazy if you directly email someone, even like no matter how successful or how high status they are, they like always check their email, which is crazy to me. You'll mostly get a chance if you can directly email someone. Like, don't go through like a manager or someone you find on LinkedIn. Just go straight and ask the CEO. Ask the primary decision maker or the founder for the opportunity. I found that works out better as well.
100%. I totally fucking agree. Okay, so anyways, I've like, you know, fucking landmined you consistently throughout this conversation, but how did this all lead to J.Cal?
Yeah, so J.Cal has a... I don't even call him J.Cal. I just call him J.Cal because other people call him J.Cal.
I know. Jason. Like, what do you call him do? Jason? Jay? Does he go by Jay?
Some people call him Jay. I've always just said Jason. But
you go by Calicanus. just start calling him Cali. Just start calling him Cali.
It's like, what are you talking about?
Hey, Cali. just out of left field.
So anyways, he has a podcast called This Week in Startups that he's been doing for, you know, over 10 years now. And it's a niche podcast in startups and technology, but it's well known like in that industry. So I listened to that for like 6 months maybe, and then heard the advice from Gary about working for someone. And so he was someone on the top of my list to see if that could be an opportunity. So sent him an email along with others, And he got back to me immediately and replies back saying, what, like, two things. What are your skills and what do you hope to accomplish in life? So two big, like, very questions that directed at me. I didn't really have good answers at the time. I sent him back like a huge paragraph email that he didn't end up responding to. But then a week later, he tweeted out, this is around the time that he had a book called Angel Launch, which is his angel investing book. And I had read it and like learned a lot about it. And he tweeted out something very specific, which was he was doing meetups. And so he's like, if you tweet out a selfie of me and my book, I'll maybe invite you to watch Blade Runner 2049 with me in San Francisco. And so I saw that opportunity, instantly tweeted out, I had the book, tweeted the selfie, and he replies, he's like, okay, do you want to come watch this movie on Thursday? We're gonna
it's like
be
a
at
weird
the
funnel
AMC.
By the way, like, I've always thought, like, that's like a weird like take a picture of me and my book,
yeah,
and let's go watch a movie. Like, it's like, don't you think that like people that read your book would like rather just like sit down and like talk? And like, by definition, he's doing like the opposite of socializing.
Yeah, like, yeah. So like he's a big fan of the movie. Like, it was so, one of it, Blade Runner is one of his favorite movies, and it was just released, premiering that night, I guess. And so that's I think the idea behind that.
Fair enough.
So yeah, so I win this, like, you know, contest or invite to see Blade Runner with him, and there was like 30 other people as well. Combination of his friends, some portfolio companies, and just other people who like won the contest. Anyways, I book a flight that night. I like documented this whole series on my YouTube channel because I was so excited.
What's your YouTube channel if anybody wants to go
It's just my name, so just search Presh Dinesh Kumar.
Can you spell Dinesh Kumar? Because yeah, it could be hard for people to spell.
Yeah.
Including me. I didn't know how to spell it. Can I try? D-I-N-E.
Yeah.
Say it again.
Dinesh Kumar.
K-U-M-A-R.
Yeah.
Did I get that?
Wait, say it again. Spell it again.
I don't know what I said.
D-I-N-E.
D-I-N-E. K-U-S-M-R.
Okay. D-I-N-E. S-H-K-U-M-A-R.
If anybody followed that, go check out the YouTube channel. Also link it below to make it easier, which should have been the initial thing.
So yeah, I documented that on my YouTube channel. Anyways, I fly out to San Francisco. It's like a two-day trip. I stayed in a hostel. I go immediately to this meetup, which is at the AMC in San Francisco.
Did you pay for your own travel and your own lodging and stuff?
Yeah, so one thing I was like addicted to at the time, getting Aeroplan points.
Spending money. I was addicted to spending money. I still had student loans from the government, and I wanted to flush it out of my account before they realized. Okay, interesting. So you were addicted to Aeroplan points.
Yeah, I was, because you could sign up for these like credit cards, and their signing bonus was like 50,000 points.
60,000, yeah. 70,000 points, yeah.
And they used to be insane back like 5 years ago, right? This was before also you could like the way they worked is, this is very like technical, you would get 50,000 points if you spend like $1,000 in the first 3 months or something.
Yes.
But this is before they had they paid attention to, so you could like buy something and then return it on the next billing cycle, and you would still capture that $1,000 spent, and so you would still get
the points.
You were just
running a refund business. you were just like going around like the local Walmarts and just cycling through them and just being like, let me rack up, like, not just beelining it to the most expensive shit, electronic section, walking out with plasmas, plugging it in for a movie, and then just selling it the next day.
Making sure I could refund that. Do you see like a thing on my screen?
A blue dot. Yeah, I don't know what that is. We'll ignore it. just imagine this is like a really critical blue dot, like it's signaling something, and like I look back and I'm like, yo, we shouldn't ignore that blue dot. That really fucked the entire episode.
It's probably gone.
Anyways, do you know what that was?
It's something with my Opal, because I haven't updated it for like, you know, a couple months, and I probably should. Yeah. Anyways, I got these points by doing that little hack, and that's how I just bought my airfare, essentially.
Sick. And then lodging, you just, you know, and took then, it on the chin?
Yeah, lodging, I would just put it on a credit card, and I would stay at a hostel, so it would be like $40 a night or something.
And then you realize the hard truth that you can't return hotel rooms after you've stayed in them. Just like, yeah. I thought I could return this. What type of hotel is this? Like, sir, you slept here for four nights. What do you mean you want a refund?
That would be a hilarious ask.
No. To be clear, I don't want a refund. I need a refund. to be very clear with you, I'm in debt if you make me do this. Just if you want to make me in debt, just putting it on like the hotel clerk. Yeah. You're about to put me in debt with one single decision. You're like, yeah, sir, you're
so bad. Yeah.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Or they.
Yeah, so book my flight out to San Francisco. Meet for 2 days, go and meet him. I was like the first person to shake his hand once he arrived, and then
was that intentional?
That was pretty intentional, yeah. Cool. I wanted him to know that I was like the guy that came from Toronto.
Nice.
Because he wouldn't know who he invited, right? It was just a random tweet.
This is a cool moment because how did you make a first impression on him? Like, what did you say? Because I found myself in this circumstance too, and oftentimes I could get nervous and shit.
Yeah.
And I blunder and I waffle and I'm like, oh fuck. And it's actually just frankly unavoidable. It just happens sometimes. And then, you know, you just try your best is the truth of like the best advice I could offer. But what did you do? Do you remember what you did, what you were focused on, what you wanted to say?
Yeah. So I didn't want to be like annoying, right? And just go straight for the ask, because there's like, I was mindful of who was there. It was an event for the book, and just like a hangout sesh. So I didn't want to like be annoying. So all I did was, I wanted him to know who I was and that I came from Toronto to see him, and then leave it on him to make the connection that like I was the guy who asked about the internship opportunity.
Got it. Okay, cool.
So first thing, he walks in, and then I, you know, go up to him, I shake his hand, and then I tell him who I am. I'm like, hey, Jason, like, I love your book. I'm Presh. I'm the guy from Toronto that, you know, you know, tweeted out a selfie and you invited. He's like, oh yeah, from Toronto. I was like, yeah, I can't believe you came out. That's incredible. And then he made the connection right away. It was like, oh, you're the kid looking for an internship. And I'm like, yeah. And then he pawns me off to one of his portfolio companies, which is there. He's like, yeah, you want an internship? Go talk to one of my like companies.
Got it.
So like, I wanted the job for him, but he was like, you know, go talk to this company just as a diversion thing. Which I was like, whatever, this is cool. I'll still talk to this company. And the company was Cafe X, which makes these like, robotic, cafe machines essentially.
Cool.
So talk to the founder, but like really it was like a quick, probably 30-second conversation with Jason at the time. Right. Yeah. I didn't want to take people wanted to talk to him. I didn't want to take up his time. So just shook his hand, told him who I was and told him I liked the book. Right. Very simple. Then we went in and watched the movie, or I talked to Henry, the CEO of Cafe X, and wasn't really wanting an internship there, but you know, just talked to him, learned a bit about his journey and that stuff, and then talked to other people that were there. And then we went in to watch the movie. He had the whole theater, so there's like, everyone there was just relevant in like tech and fans of Jason or just portfolio companies. Yeah, watched the movie, and then that was like the only interaction with Jason that entire trip. The cool thing is like when you do these things, like other opportunities come. So at that event, I met the CEO of Superhuman, which is a email client. Yep.
It's a big company.
And he invited me to his office the following day, just cause I told him like what I'm doing there. So like all these serendipitous things happen.
Did you sleep in for that too?
definitely didn't sleep in there.
Just imagine God damn it. Just you look down at your clock, you're just like, this 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. slot just gets the best of me every fucking time.
It's just hilarious,
all your dreams are just like on the other end of like waking up before 10 a.m.
Literally, yeah.
Yeah. Fair enough. Anyways, continue.
Yeah, so I was just saying like that the whole serendipitous thing happens. when you put yourself out there, I've learned. And that was like my first real experience and encounter with that, because I got invited to their office, met a lot of people on the team. That meeting the people at Superhuman led to what would eventually be me finding an immigration attorney that helps me get into the U.S. and work there for like
really?
3 or 4 years. Yeah. Wow. So all these like crazy little things happen because of just, you know, putting yourself out there essentially.
Because of showing up. But just yeah. The last part of that's kind of key is like, how did you end up getting the role with Jason? What
yeah.
happened?
Yeah. So what happened is after that conversation, he invited me to, well, the next day I followed up with him, right? So no opportunity the day of, right? I just put myself out there, told him who I was. The following day, I sent him an email saying, thanks for letting me show up. You know, I met this company. It was so cool. And appreciate you like giving me the time. He responds to that email saying, thanks for coming out. I've got an event that I'm hosting called Launch Scale next week. You can come out to that and help out. And if you're super motivated, we'll give you a project to work on maybe. So he just left it like that. And I was like, this is great. So I book another flight on points again the following week. And this time I stay from like a Monday to Friday. So I stay the whole working week.
Cool.
Go to the conference, just get my hands like busy with whatever I can do to be helpful. And I met the team, which was like 4 people at the time. This is Launch, Jason's company. Meet the team and just try to help out. And I was doing like speaker content because they didn't have anyone on social media. So I would take pictures of their speakers and write a little bio and tweet that out and do like tidbits of whatever they were speaking about. So did that. At the end of the conference, I met up with Jason and he was like, what'd you think of the conference? I was like, it's great. And then he's like, okay, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to give you a project you can work on remotely in Toronto. And if you do a good job on it, then we'll maybe hire you full time because we don't do interns.
Just imagine, what's the project? Investment banking. you're just like, fuck. I really like, I dropped out. I thought I got out of this. What was the project?
So the project, it was funny. It was to set up 30 dim sum meetups across the U.S. for his book launch, to drive book engagement meetups. Sick.
That's a super J. Cal thing to do, like dim sum meetups.
Yeah, yeah.
I love
dim sum. We just did a dim sum demo day for our companies, which is hilarious.
It's just all about the amount of, you know, dim sum J. Cal's consumed and like, you know, caloric units over the years is just asinine. And then, yeah. So I'm assuming the project went well.
So here's the thing. I didn't even do the project.
Just, you woke up late. So here's the thing. I woke up late.
So what happened, dude, was I fly back home all excited to do this project. And then he calls me, which I don't know how he even got my number. I think he FaceTime audioed my email.
Oh, okay.
And so that's how he called me, because I don't think I don't know how he would have got my email.
This is an important point to make. Like, when you're working with like interesting people, Peter's this way, and everybody I've worked with is largely this way in some weird degree. Mm-hmm. They all communicate in like really strange ways. Like,
yes.
And then like, not to say FaceTime audio is a strange way, but it's a strange way based on the context that you folks had, you know, like you just met and you didn't know they had your number and he's calling your email. Like, Peter will send like long voice notes.
Yeah.
And it's just like an interesting way that he communicates. And I know Tony Robbins is that as well. And, you know, I've had folks communicate to me in all strange sorts of ways. But anyway, just a note. Anyways, continue.
No, so it's a good note because you just reminded me of something else. There's an even weirder way of communication that happened, which is while I was still in SF. So after...
He just starts posting on your Facebook wall. You're like, he's like, where the... Like, he emails you, buddy, I've been posting on your Facebook wall for a fucking week. What the fuck is this? Like, you don't reply to me all of a sudden. You're like, dude, like what's what the fuck are you talking?
Yeah. So this was very surprising to me, but I'm happy that it happened. So I had a website, which was just PreshjaneshKumar.com, right? And I would sign that in my emails. That's what I would link to because I didn't work for a company. So anyways, on that website, I had a Zendesk chat widget, right? And so that chat widget, if anyone uses it, I would just get a notification on my phone, open it up, and see.
You communicate it to you through chat?
So I get a notification, and I don't know who it is, right? Because it doesn't show you who it is. It's not that sophisticated. It just shows the IP address and where it's from. So it said San Francisco. I was like, oh, maybe this is him. So he's like, hey. And then I respond, hello. He's like, it's Jason. I'm like, hi, Jason. And then he goes and he explains, I want you to work on this project. And then he goes into finer detail of like the context that he gave me. Right. Sure. And so he's like, I want it to be in 30 cities. I want it to happen over the next couple months. And you can set it, find a venue for like 30, 40, 50 people. So he goes and he's like talking me through this. And I'm like, this is crazy. Like, I'm getting an opportunity to work on a job through my website chat widget, which is like blowing my mind at the time. But anyways, just a hilarious way.
That is funny.
Yeah. So anyways, I get back home to Toronto and then he calls me. And then he says, basically, his director of growth at the time, Troy, was handed in his 2 weeks and was like going to, I think, get engaged or something, right? And so he was leaving, and Jason needed someone to help with marketing and growth for the podcast and events business. So he was like, hey, like, my director of growth is leaving. I need someone to help with marketing. Do you want the job? We'll hire you as a contractor, full-time contractor, and then we'll figure out how to get you to San Francisco eventually. So that was that. I was like, absolutely. I'm in.
And wait, like, did you know anything about marketing and like this space, or you just take a leap of faith and say you're going to learn it on the way?
Yeah, didn't really know much. I was interested in it, but technically speaking, like, didn't have any actual experience doing marketing. I'd run like a couple Facebook ads for a previous project that I was working on. But I figured I can just learn this on the way.
I mean, you know, that's awfully interesting. Like, I mean, now you're his right hand in a lot of ways. Quite literally. And so, you know, chief of staffs are just generally people's right hands, and, you know, they have like an array of stuff that they work on. And I know you lead the team at launch, and, you know, you're a key and critical part of his ecosystem. And my next question and my last one for you are you happy here? And is this where you see yourself being for a longer time? You know, earlier in the conversation, you mentioned that this was meant to be a part of your journey in finding.
Yeah.
And a part of your journey in searching. And, you know, when we talk, I still very much so feels that you're on that path. And I don't know how you view it these days. Is this, you know, become a home for you, which is acceptable and admirable and really special if it has? Or do you feel that, you know, there's a next step out there and, you know, you're looking for what it is and where are you at?
Yeah.
Where you want to take it?
Yeah, it's a great question. So you're exactly right. I used this initially as like this is going to be my undergrad. And then it turned into my undergrad and like postgrad, like MBA. So now it's like all of that combined. I've worked for Jason and launch for 6 years this month, actually.
Wow.
Which is an incredibly long time. So what's next? I've learned a lot and have almost went through the whole stack of positions at launch at this point, right? Started off on like marketing and growth on the media business, then transitioned into the investment team. Worked on the accelerator a bit, now working on, and then was Jason's chief of staff for a bit, and now I primarily work on a product called Founder University, which is like, if you've got an idea or an MVP and you want to raise, you know, some money, or you want to learn how to build a startup, this program helps you do that, right? And it's completely free, and we invest like 25K into those companies, and I'm having a ton of fun doing that. I love that area of the business. It's probably my favorite throughout the whole years, what I've learned, because it gets me to work with very early stage entrepreneurs and help them, you know, put something into the world and work on that. So that's super exciting to me, having a ton of fun doing that. It also brings me to like my next thing, like what do I want to do after launch? I've always wanted to start a company. And so naturally I spend time, all my days spent with founders. Eventually we'll make that jump as well once I've got, you know, an idea that I'm dying to work on that I can't, you know, that becomes like, I want to work on that more than I want to work at launch at that point, then I'll probably make the transition to being like a founder
Fuck yeah, bro. Yeah. Dude, I love that. I can't wait for you. Last two questions is what are you most thankful for right now? And then I'll answer that as well for myself.
Mm. Okay. What am I most thankful for? So I was watching a movie yesterday. I don't know if the movie's out because I watch these like movies that are unreleased because my girlfriend works in film. What's the movie? It was a local directed movie, and it was like filmed entirely in Scarborough.
What's it called?
I can't remember the name. I'll have to text it to you after.
Was it good?
It was pretty good. Yeah. But essentially, in the movie, the main character's father has he's developing Parkinson's essentially. So the kid is like dealing with these struggles and like taking his dad to appointments, and his family is also separated, and there's like just a lot of pressure on this kid, right? And it just, to tie it back to your question, I'm just super thankful I have, like, you know, family is all in good health, and I don't have that. There's like no additional pressure on me, you know, nothing really prepares you for that, and so I'm just thankful to have a, you know, happy and healthy family.
Dude, that's such a beautiful answer, and I'm, you know, happy that that's your case. You know, not everybody has that, so that's fucking awesome. Yeah. I would say that to answer for myself what I'm thankful for right now. Yeah. I'm thankful for this book. You know, this is called Jesus is Calling. I have it on my desk.
Nice.
And so I'm spiritual. You know, I grew up Catholic. I don't prescribe to any particular religion. I believe, you know, God, love, the universe. I don't tell anybody what to believe in spiritually. I think whatever you believe in spiritually, you should practice. You know, at moments in my life, I've delved into religious texts, from the Bible to now this book to the Dhammapada, which are, you know, Buddhist texts, to the Tao Te Ching, from, you know, the understanding of Tao and the wisdom of Tao. And, you know, now it's this, and it's just brought so much God, love, the universe, Lord, into my life. And I'm so grateful for it. It's like a special part of my day. I read it every morning, at sunrise.
What's the book? Is it like something you can reread?
It's just like no. It's actually just every single day there's like a little passage, and so it's like you know, this girl named Sarah Young. She did a great job depicting the Bible in certain moments, and each day just feels like God, love, the universe, Lord's talking to you, which is nice. And so it's beautiful. It's a great way to start your day. And there's also plenty of these books. Anyways, I'm grateful for that book. Great day to start my day with Lord, love, God, the universe, and I love it. My last question that I pulled from Steven, which is, what's your question for the next guest that I have on the show? Oh,
this is
I like that he did that one. And so I'm totally stealing
that's
it.
That's a good one. That's totally a good one. Okay. Next question for the next guest. Ooh.
How do you feel about the 10 a.m., 11 a.m. slot?
No, it's good. I like it. I start my day later because of, I mainly work on like PST, so it actually works out great. But let me think. Okay.
By the way, as you're thinking, watch this. So I was recently traveling back from Miami, and there was this book at the airport called 40 Questions to Change Your Life. And I was like, oh, this might be, you know, a good book to pick up for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I opened it, and the table of contents is each question. And then I decided I wasn't going to buy it. And let me just read out to you some of the questions. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Well, I'm finding it. Are you having fun yet? This is a whole question here. You ready? Why? Why not? Why not you? Why not now? Here's another one. Do you ever scare yourself? Like, what the fuck was this guy thinking? Like, and some of these are good, but like, it's just, it is the juice worth the squeeze? Is like a, so feel free to steal any of those if, those, you know, no questions come to mind.
Yeah. Okay. So my question might be, is there a defining moment in your career that led you to where you are? And that can be, that can be like early, just like a decision that you made of, for me, it was like dropping out of school because I didn't know, you know, I didn't really enjoy it. And so I knew that wasn't the path, but then did whatever I could to find something else. And so like, was there an early decision in your next guest's career that led them to where they are?
Dude, I love that. That's going to be really fun. I think next I'm talking to Tyler Schmidt, which is he does What You Do for Gary Vee.
Yes. And so,
he's a have you ever had a chance to speak with
him? I've emailed him once ages ago because he helped me get a meeting, not with Gary, but just come and check out the office. I like emailed him. I was in New York one time.
Oh, wow.
Like 2017. I'll try to find a screenshot of that message, but he's like, yeah, come on by.
Yeah, Tyler's the man, bro. He's cool. Just held tons of people. I'm happy to make an introduction for you if you'd like. But
oh, amazing. Yeah.
Yo, dude, thanks so much for hopping on. This was a fucking ton of fun.